Amen. All right, just remain standing for offering tonight. Everybody, just remain standing. Amen. I got a stack of mail here, and I ain't even opened most of it, but I wanted to read you a letter here from some lady up in Canada. Never heard of her. Somewhere in Canada. And she said, "Dear Pastor Danny Castle, I just wanted to write you and thank you for preaching the King James Bible and not departing from the faith. Many Christians have fallen asleep on God, and it is encouraging to see you and your church working hard and going on for God. I have watched your sermons on the internet. They have blessed me and my family tremendously. I burn them to DVDs and listen to your preaching at night before I go to sleep." Scared me there. "I am praying that God will continue to bless you and your church." I was a Satanist or something. "Please pray for me and my church. We are currently without a pastor, but God has blessed us and supplied our needs. Pray for Canada. It is very dark here, but Jesus can still save. No matter how dark it is, if we are faithful, God will bless us. On December 22nd, we had an ice storm, and it knocked out the hydro at my church. We watched your Sunday morning message over the internet. You preached about how there was no room for Jesus in Bethlehem, and how today people still don't have room for him. That message spoke to me and blessed me. You have no idea what an encouragement you have been to me. In that service, you mentioned that you had CDs of your choir. I would appreciate it very much if you could send me one. I enclosed a money order for $125. $25 is for the CD, and the other $100 I want to give specifically for your bus ministry. I'm sorry that I'm not good with words, but I like to encourage you to keep on for Christ. Keep on going on for Christ. We have gone too far to turn back now. Amen. There isn't much time left. May Jesus find us busy serving him when he returns. Cindy Kazop. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, and bound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's a blessing. I have no idea who that lady is, but she sends a love offering of $125 tonight. And I hope that you've got yours ready tonight to give, and the Lord will bless you for it. And do right. God's blessing. He's blessing. He always promised he'll bless his word. That's what he promised to bless, his word. So let's pray tonight, all right? Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of giving. Thank you, Lord, for this another Wednesday night here in this brand new year. Have mercy on us, Lord. Bless us tonight. We're getting the word of God. Do what ought to be done. Bless those that are sick. Once again, those that had to work, couldn't be here, want to be here. I pray for these people all over the world that listen and watch. I ask you, Lord, to bless them. Help us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's one from Sydney, Australia. I don't know nobody in Sydney, Australia. This girl says, "My name is Michelle, and I live in a small town on the coast, south coast of Sydney, Australia. We want to say thank you for you and your church, for how much of a blessing you've been in our lives. Even though we have not met you, the work you do for our wonderful Lord have reached many people around the world, especially us, and we just want to say how much you've impacted our lives through sermons on the internet." Ain't that something? I go on and on and on and on and on about something. I don't know what all she's talking about here. And there's her picture. They are on the beach, all right. Sure as the world. We would love to hear back from you. And you know, you received this letter. What about that? All right. We're going to get in the Word here tonight, and I want to make a few announcements quick first. Don't forget now.
Hello.
1, 2, 3. Don't forget now, Saturday morning we're going visiting. Hello, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, there it comes. Don't forget Saturday morning, we're going to visit at 9:30. You don't want to be a blessing. Good way to start out the new year is invest some time in other people's lives. Now, don't sit there and say, well, I visit in other ways. All right? You're not following the church pattern. You're following our leadership. So get involved in it. Get involved in the church visitation. Anything you do on your own is fine, but make sure you come and be a part of the bus ministry. The Lord bless you for it. All right? Okay, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Galatians. It is right after 2 Corinthians, and we begin tonight a verse-by-verse study of this book. It's going to be a really, really good blessing, and don't even think for a second. Sometimes people, when you start studying a book like this, people think, boring. But one thing for sure, the Word of God is not boring. Never has been. If it's boring, the preacher makes it that way, or you're so full of the devil's candy, you don't have no appetite for it. One of the two. It's my fault or your fault, but it ain't nothing wrong with the book. Nothing wrong with the book. The book is fresh, and these words are just as real and true as it was the day the Apostle Paul penned it down on that parchment. So tonight, I want you to take your Bible, or put your thinking caps on, look with me, and we're going to look at this epistle to the Galatians. An epistle means a letter. That's what the word epistle means. You're taking notes? And it's the epistle of Paul the Apostle. An apostle was somebody chosen by the Lord. There was originally 12. Judas fell. Yes, Judas was an apostle. Judas did have power to raise people from the dead. Judas did have power to heal. And he was a lost devil. There's no explanation for that except God just did it for a special reason. One man told me one time, he said, either Judas was saved or God called the devil to preach. One of the two. I said, God called the devil to preach because he wasn't saved. Here's you something to think over for a few weeks. Judas was a devil before the devil entered into him. And that's way above most people's heads. They can't even get a hold of that. But we'll get into that another time. Anyway, an apostle was somebody that seen the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry or had a personal encounter with him and had the signs of an apostle, miracles and wonders, which means by that definition, there are no apostles today. I've seen some church on TV where Reverend Sister Anna Nicole Apostle so-and-so was the pastor. No, she's not an apostle. She's not even a preacher. There are no apostles here. There were 12 original apostles, and then there were a few more as God appeared to them. Anyway, that's not what we're studying tonight. We're studying the book of Galatians, chapter 1. The book of Galatians has 6 chapters, 149 verses, 3,084 words. It's divided up into 3 parts. You can get pretty easy. Chapters 1 and 2 is a personal section he's talking about. Chapter 3 and 4 is a doctrinal section. Chapter 5 and 6 is a practical section. So we'll look at those 3 divisions, chapters 1 and 2, a personal section. Paul, every time he opened his mouth and every book he wrote, was always giving his testimony and he's always giving his credentials. You hear a lot of talk about the Apostle Paul and what a great man he was. And as I've been studying this week, I absolutely marvel at what a great man the Apostle Paul was. He was the greatest Christian that's ever lived, probably, in this age of grace, was the Apostle Paul. I'm not a Pauline, I don't have a Pauline obsession. I'm not obsessed with him. I don't worship him. I tell you, that was a man right there. They say, history says, I can't prove this, that he was a little man and that his health wasn't good. I don't know about all that, but that's what history books say. But I tell you what, he's a mighty man of God. And the Apostle Paul gives us these words. This is one of the few books that Paul actually wrote with his hand. Many of his epistles, he dictated them with his mouth and somebody else wrote them. If you'll notice that. It's Apostle Paul so-and-so, written by so-and-so. But this one, he actually wrote with his own hand. Not only that, there's no certain church addressed here. It don't say to the churches in Galatia.
It just says churches in general. Not only that, nobody's called saints or in God or of God in this book. Romans shows us that man is justified by faith and salvation is by faith alone. Galatians shows us that we stay justified by faith after salvation. That's the main, one of the main themes of Galatians. Romans teaches a man that you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. But a lot of people believe, still believe, that you're saved by grace through faith, but you have to live up to a certain standard in order to stay right with God. Romans teaches us that you're justified by salvation by faith, and Galatians teaches us that you're kept justified by faith in God. Did you know sin does not affect your salvation? Sin does affect your relationship, your fellowship with God, but it does not affect your relationship with God. It's just like one of my daughters do something that I don't agree with, and they have. And I bless them out when they do. Anytime they do something, don't you ever say, well, why is Brother Danny doing? Don't you think they don't hear it from me? I give it to them, buddy. I'm harder on them than I am anybody. They don't always do what I say, and it might hinder our fellowship, but it cannot hinder our relationship. We're related no matter what. We're stuck with me. I'm stuck with them. And when you're born again, brother, I mean bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and the Holy Ghost puts you in the body of Jesus Christ, you in. Nothing can change your relationship. Nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. You might mess up that fellowship, but that relationship cannot be changed. All right? We're going to start tonight with chapter 1 and verse 1, and we'll read it, and I'm going to give you, point out something. It's loaded, buddy. This chapter is loaded. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. I want you to keep your Bibles open. And God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Churches in general, the ones at Galatia. All right? It don't say the church of Galatia. He always mentioned that he's in the ministry by a direct revelation from God. He always mentions that. Paul always said, it was him that put me in the ministry. There are some that are called to the ministry. There are some that choose the ministry. Like some old fellow said, he said, some were called, some were sent, some just packed up and went. Have you ever heard these preachers preach? And you think, man, I don't know. I've heard a lot of preachers preach. I wonder if we're called to preach or not. It's not my call. I don't make that call between them and God. But then these others, you have no doubt in your mind God called them to preach. That's the way Paul was. God put him in the ministry. He said, I'm an apostle, not of men, neither by man. I asked him one time, who put you in the ministry? Man asked me one time, he said, who give you the right to preach? I said, the Lord called me to preach. He said, who give you the right to just go out and start a church? I said, God did. You can't get a higher mandate than that. The Baptist didn't call me to preach, thank God. But my mama didn't call me to preach. The Lord called me, and that's what Paul's saying here. He said, God did, who raised him from the dead. Look at verse number 3. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grace and peace, these are two things missing in most Christians' lives. Grace you. The Lord wants you to have grace in your life, and the Lord wants you to have peace in your life. If you never have any peace, something wrong. Something wrong in your life if you never have any peace. Now, we have battles. I have them all the time. Y'all that know me good, you know, buddy, I fight all the time. I fight my flesh. I fight the devil. I fight the world. But I have a lot of peace, too. I have a lot of peace. There's a couple of times down there in Alabama when the peace of God just flooded my soul. And I thought, Lord, of God, it's wonderful to be saved in 2014 and everything. The Lord wants you to have peace. The Lord don't want you to go around all the time, tore all to pieces, worrying yourself silly. Sometimes you can't help it, but God wants grace and peace in your life. Look at verse 3. Grace be to you and peace. Where does it come from? God the Father. You say, well, if I can just get that promotion at work, I'll let them. Nope, it comes from God the Father. If my husband would act right, nope, it comes from God the Father. If my kids would straighten up, your peace comes from God the Father. You know why? Because everything ain't never going to be right down here. We own enemy territory, buddy. We're in the wrong place. And look at, he said, grace from God. All right? Look at verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins. Buddy, that'll preach all night. He gave himself. He gave himself. He didn't give money. He didn't give his possessions. He didn't give a vote. He didn't give a sign. The Lord gave himself. You know how people used to study the Bible? They'd get that verse down right there and said he gave himself. And instead of being in a hurry to watch 11 o'clock news like we do, they'd just think about that. He gave himself for my sins. And then they'd think, the worst thing I've ever done in my life, the worst thing you've ever done in your life, don't tell me, I don't want to know what it is. I don't know, you might have killed somebody. You might have done something horrible. Oh, the worst thing you've ever done in your life, Christ gave himself for that. Buddy, that don't do something to you, there's something wrong with you. Who gave himself for our sin. Your lies, my lies. Your unbelief, my unbelief. Your wickedness, my wickedness. Your sorry deeds, my sorry deeds. He gave himself for our sin. That's enough right there to shout about from now to the day we die. He gave himself for our sins. You know what will keep you from shouting on that? You don't believe it. If you really believe that right there, just that right there, that one sentence, he gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. Do you ever feel like, Lord, I'm the worst sinner in the world. There ain't no use in me trying. You ever feel like the best I can do, I still fail. I mess up every day. God, I'm no count. He gave himself for your sin. Oozing, wounds, blood everywhere, coming down the cross, dripping on the ground. He gave himself for mine and your sins. Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing? If next time you get down and out, remember, somebody loved you enough to give him his life for your sins. Don't get discouraged. Now look at this part. Look at the verse 4. That he might deliver us from hell? Yeah, but what else? This present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Look at that. You know what Jesus died for? He did not just die to keep us out of hell. That was one of the main reasons. But he died to deliver us from this present evil world. In other words, Jesus didn't just die so we could go to heaven when we die. He died so that we could get out of this hell holes, beer joints, clubs, gambling, lying, drinking, immorality of this world, this present evil world. Now, I want to point out something to you here in your King James Bible. Look at it. This present evil world. Did you know the Bible teaches that the world you and I live in is evil? They don't believe that in college. That's why we clash so much. The world believes that the world is basically a good place and people are basically good, except for a few bad things here and there. We're working for a better world, and man is good at heart. All he has to do is fan the spark of divinity inside of him, and he'll do better. You know what we believe? We're living in an evil world. This world is evil. Amen? Maybe I'll have a heart attack when you say that. In other words, don't ever forget what I'm getting ready to tell you. The Bible puts a negative view on this world. The Bible points this world in a negative light. Science and education and even religion paints the world in a positive light. You know you're being taught wrong when people tell you the world is basically good. It's not a big, wonderful, exciting place. You even hear Christians all the time talk about their kids and say, oh, yes, she's getting it, and it's just so happy, and she's just got her degree from college, and they're getting married, and oh, everything's just wonderful. They're going to have this wonderful, happy life. No, she's living in a present evil world, and she's going to have trouble. Now, if you can get a good education, buy you a nice house, have a nice family, more power to you. May the blessing of God be on you. But don't ever forget, this world ain't your friend. Sent one of my daughters a text the other day, and I said, Tori, don't forget, this world is not your friend. Y'all listen to me tonight? The world is not your friend. They'll say, come on, come on. Listen, as long as you'll do what they want you to do, party with them and everything, they'll take you in. The minute you take a stand, they have no use for you. They don't care. They have no use for us. Listen, they'll take them little old girls like Britney Spears and all them. Remember over in Old Bill and I prophesied and said she'd mess up and she did. I said the same thing about Miley Cyrus and she did. And they'll raise them up and use them. And after they get a few wrinkles and a few pounds, they ain't got no use for them. Some of them try to hang on like poor old Madonna, old hag, and they make her a star for a while, but they are, pretty soon they have no use for her. They don't have no use for them old wrinkled up movie stars. The world's not your friend, buddy. Don't ever forget that. Young people, listen to me. The world is not your friend. The drug dealer is not your friend. The man that sells you the alcohol is not your friend. The man who will try to get you to go into a nightclub is not your friend. One girl said, well, my boyfriend, I said, but really, I'm trying to get him to go to church. He ain't your friend, let alone your boyfriend. He's your enemy. Amen. The world, the Bible prints the world in a negative light. If you believe the world, this present world is evil, it'll make you think right. For example, my thinking is ruined as far as this world's concerned by that book. I think that. I think it. Everything that comes down the road, I filter it through that. I can't help it. It's part of me. I don't even try. People ask me all the time stuff comes up and I say, well, the Bible said this, the Bible said that. I've been so full of it and I've heard it so many years that every time I'm looking, it's like you're looking through glasses, I look at everything through the Scripture. And you're supposed to. You're supposed to. I don't trust my own eyes. I don't trust my own views. And you're a fool if you do. You. Somebody said, let your conscience be your guide. That ain't right. You better let your Bible be your guide. Your Bible won't take you wrong. Your conscience can deceive you. Your eyes can deceive you. Your ears can deceive you. You say, well, just there's stupid people get on TV and they say, just follow your heart. You know where that'll lead you? Hell, buddy. Your heart is desperately wicked. That's what it says. We just can't believe that, can we? We just cannot believe that we're depraved and there's nothing good about us and the only thing good about us, I'll tell you how I am. I took some kids one time. Here's how messed up my head is, but it's right. Messed up according to the world, right according to Scripture. And we go through Charlotte and we was going around Charlotte, you know, on them big interstate roads where you go around and you see the city over there. And one of the kids was saying, cool. Look at those, man, isn't them beautiful, huh? And the whole time, I was thinking, down in that street's a man laying down there, starving to death. And over there's a girl in a crack house. And over there, and I thought about Sodom and Gomorrah. I can't even look at it like they look at it. All I can see is people on, you say, well, that's negative. That's the Bible view of this world. It's negative. The Bible view of the world is, you know what, if Jesus went through Charlotte, you think he'd say, wow, how cool. He'd say, oh, Charlotte, oh, Charlotte. Thou hadst stoned the prophets and killed them that's in you. How often would I have gathered you under my wing, and you would not. He would see the little kids being beat. He'd see the little girls being raped. He'd see, you know, this present evil world, people. It's evil. This world's evil. It's evil. Evil. He said, well, why do you have to be so negative? Just being biblical, that's all. Just being biblical. He said, well, can't you be positive? Yeah, Jesus is going to come get us and take us out of this mess. That's the positive view. The Bible view of the world is it's evil. The Bible view of the school system, it's evil. The Bible view of the political system, it's evil. This present evil world. And that's why we sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, ever since I've been saved, my flesh is still wicked. My flesh still likes sin. But I'm telling you, there's been something inside me ever since I've been saved that just says, you know, I feel like I'm going to fly. And I am going to one of these days. This world ain't our home. All right? Evolution says think positive. You have great potential. Goodness in every man. You know what the Bible says? Men are evil. You say men are evil? That's what it says. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 11. Let me show you some. Let's look at some scriptures here right quick. Lest you think I'm overplaying this thing here. Look at Luke chapter 11. Take your Bible. We're going to study the Bible here. This is really helping you. You just may not understand it. It's like eating greens and potatoes and strong meat. It's strong meat. It's good for you. Luke chapter number 11. Our church will grow if you'll get this. Luke chapter 11. Look at verse 13. Jesus Christ said this. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father gives. Jesus took it for granted them people was evil. Talking to his own disciples. They're evil. You know what your problem is? You're evil. So am I. You ever notice how much that word evil looks like devil? All you gotta do is put a D in front of it. Devil. Evil. Evil, brother. Evil. You're evil. The world's evil. All right? People are evil. Look at Mark chapter 7. Look back up there to Mark chapter 7. Let me show you something. Mark chapter 7. And look with me at verse 21. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For within, Mark 7, 21. Everybody got it? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. The world don't believe that. The world thinks you're basically good, and your environment makes you better or worse. You have evil thoughts. You know what your evil thoughts are? Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness. See, you was really, you know, amen, them adulterers and fornicators. What about that covetousness? You know what covetousness is? Wishing you had what your neighbor's got. Wishing you had their car, their house, their clothes, their looks, their money. That shuts you up right there, won't it? You're more evil. You say, oh, I'm adulterers. What about you covetous people? Wickedness, deceit, acting like you're paying your tithes when you ain't, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, thinking you're hot stuff, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. We can just stop right now and every one of us hits the altar and ask God to forgive us. Pride is in the same verse as adultery. Now look, somebody commits adultery in the average church, that's awful. It's an awful thing. I'm not belittling that at all. And yet the whole church sitting there like, buddy, ain't we something? We are great. We're wonderful. God put that in the same verse. Evil. Evil. The Bible said He died to deliver us from this present evil world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, we gotta move on here, y'all. I was gonna try to get the whole first chapter. Verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now, verse 6, he brings up another subject. I marvel, that's a cool word, marvel, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. So he starts off this letter, this epistle, by saying, man, I cannot believe y'all. I done come in there and preached the gospel of grace of God, and you done removed unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What he's saying is, there's only one real gospel, but these people are coming in preaching you a false gospel. But though we, verse 8, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. All right. Here's what he's saying here. Let's stop on that in just a little bit. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed. Now, he wasn't even married, so he wrote this letter. How did he know that? Somebody must have come and told him. They didn't have telephone. They couldn't text. They didn't have TV. Somebody evidently come and told Paul, did you know them people over in Galatia? Somebody else has been preaching false doctrine and they're believing it. And he said, what? And he writes this letter. I heard that you're removed from the true gospel of Christ to another gospel. And then he makes one of the boldest statements a man's ever made. You realize what I just read, y'all? Here's this man living out there in the wilderness and writes to this church and said, if anybody tells you anything different than what I've told you, let God curse him. Even if it's an angel from heaven. There's a man that's pretty sure what he believes, ain't it? He said, if an angel from heaven, you know, we always say, you know, if an angel comes and tells you something, he's really from hell. He said, if an angel from heaven. That man's pretty sure what he preached right, ain't he? I mean, if an angel floated down through that ceiling right now and stopped right there and said, Danny, you're wrong. You know, most of you would say, oh, an angel said it. He must be right. But you know what Paul said? Paul said, what I've told you is right, and if an angel floats right down in there and tells you something different, let a curse be on him. You start putting curses on angels, buddy, you're pretty sure what you're right, ain't you? I'd have to know I was right before I'd say, now what I told them, the Word of God's right, but forget about this other stuff, it's my opinion. I'd be scared to contradict an angel from heaven. That man said if an angel, now what do y'all think about that? What do you think about that? That's a pretty, you know what? He knew he was right. He knew it. And buddy, what this generation needs is some Christians and preachers. Paul would not fit in too good with Al Sharpton and these Reverend Ike or some of these preachers that those days said, or the Pope or somebody that said, all religions are good if you believe. Paul said, bless God, I ain't only saying that other religions are wrong. I don't care if one dropped out of heaven and told you something different. Let God curse him. How do you think that would have went over if Paul had been on Larry King? Now, do you love everybody? Yes, I do. What about these other religions where people are preaching Muhammad is way and Buddha's way? Paul says, let him be a curse. Let him let God damn him. So, what do you think about that, people? How do you think the Apostle Paul said, I know I'm right, and if anybody preaches you anything else, let God curse him. That's what he said. There's a man that knows what he's got's right. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and the Lord struck him down. One old theologian said, Paul just got over heated out there and had a sunstroke, you know, and he had a sunstroke, all right. Son of God struck him down, and he was blind as a bat for 3 days. He said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And by the time he got to town, he preached the faith that he once destroyed. That man had the goods, buddy. He had the goods. And that's what me and you need to do. Me and you need to stay in that book and stay on our knees and stay with God in the woods somewhere till we know what we got is real and what we believe is right. Because if you don't, when the testing time comes, you'll fall. Anybody want to comment on that? Him telling an angel and cussing an angel. No comment? What about that? He said, though, if a man tells you something against this book, he said, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Let's see here. Verse number 8. Let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we said before, so I now say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you received, let him be accursed. He said it again. He said it again. That's how sure he was. Now, there is a place in the Bible where an angel does preach another gospel. Anybody know where it is? Anybody know where there's a case where an angel does come and preach another gospel? It's in Revelation 14. Turn over there and look at it. Let me show you something. Revelation chapter 14. Here in the Word of God. And this very thing happens that he's talking about. But this angel ain't accursed. And you know why he's not accursed? Because he's preaching the gospel of that time. The tribulation. Angel. And let's see here. Where are we at? Angel, Revelation 14:6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. See, John the Baptist preached the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom was coming. Then Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God, the church dispensation. Then the angel comes and preached in the tribulation the everlasting gospel. He's not accursed because he's preaching it in the right dispensation. If in this generation an angel preached the everlasting gospel, he's accursed. But them angels got their doctrine straight. They preach it when you're supposed to. An angel sent from God. If a man gets up right now and says, you're saved by grace and faith and works, that man's accursed. But in the tribulation, if a man says, he that endureth the end and don't get his head, don't take the mark of the beast, same shall be saved, he's blessed because he's preaching the truth. Every false doctrine is a true statement preached in the wrong age. For example, in the Old Testament, they were told not to eat certain kinds of meat. We are told in the New Testament, we can eat any kind of meat we want. That don't mean it's good for us, but that means we are allowed to. I'm going to preach y'all a sermon pretty soon on what a Christian should eat. The reason I ain't preached it yet is because I'd be a hypocrite if I preached it now. I'm gonna try to live it for a while and then preach it. but I'm gonna be honest with you and say, look, I don't always do. I'm gonna preach what the Bible says a Christian should eat. You know them Old Testament standards of eating. Just because we eat juice, God had a reason for that. Not telling them not to eat shellfish and shrimps and stuff. A shrimp is a scavenger. It's a scavenger. It's the same thing as a roach. A shrimp is a roach that lives in the ocean. It is. It's a sea roach. That's what it is. And I love them. We was over there, and Melanie came up to me over there, and she said, ooh, does them have the veins in them? And I looked, and sure enough, a little black thing running right through there, and you know what that is, don't you? I said, well, it's cooked. And I didn't say that. You're eating sea roaches. And if they're not deveined, you're eating their waste. Anyway, I'm going to preach a sermon on what should a Christian eat. The truth is, it's not a sin for us to eat anything. You can have teriyaki bat this Sunday evening if you want to. But that don't mean it's good for you. You can have fried white mouse for dinner. But that don't mean you should. Amen? We'll get into that another time. I'm going to stop right there. We're out of time. Kids running wild. We're not going to be able to get through this. We're going to get through it next week, Lord willing. All right? If you didn't learn something tonight, you wasn't listening. You know what that word will do? It'll make you grow. I'm throwing water and round, and not Roundup. What do you call that stuff? Miracle-Gro. That's Miracle-Gro right there. He's going to Roundup on you, I hope. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. We pray now, our Father, that you would have mercy on us. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'll put a hunger for the Word of God in every heart here tonight. Please, Lord, do it for Jesus' sake. A hunger for the Word of God. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would bless every person here. I pray, Lord, that we'll grow from what we've studied. And next week, the crowd will be bigger, and people will come and learn from the Word of God. And Lord, help us to realize.